Greetings, homies and homettes. This is Bako Tunes Podcast, episode 52, brought to you by Bakotopia.com. All right, look, every time I say this is a very special episode, most of you probably start looking at each other like, oh, another one of those. Well, hush up, because it can't get any more special than this. Bako Tunes welcomes Norwood Fisher of the legendary musical genre-defined ska-punk funk mashes Fishbone. You've heard me give Fishbone the showers of praise in the past, but this time you get to hear the band. You get to hear one of the band's founders, just like when I had Angelo Moore, a.k.a. Dr. Mad Vibe, on Bako Tunes episode 31. Dang, 31, that was like old school. But who is Fishbone? Only one of the most influential bands of the past two decades. Let's see. No Doubt, Sublime, Real Big Fish, and a Bakersfield band called Mento Blue. Yes, if there was no Fishbone, there would be no Mento Buru. And remember, just like George Clinton once said about P-Funk, without the funk, none of us could pee. Well, in this case, without the fish, none of us could bone. You're going to hear Noah talk about what's been going on for the past few years with the band, and about the current lineup and slamming new album called Still Stuck in Your Throat. I also got some Fishbone music at the end, so grab your boners, because here we go. This is Norwood of the baddest band in the world, Fishbone! Hello, this is Matt.
Matt, this is Norwood.
What's up, Norwood, man? Thanks for calling me, man. I appreciate it.
Right on, bro.
How's everything going right now?
Well, you know, everybody's excited to be back on the West Coast. The last leg of the month-long tour to start up the Still Stuck in Your Throat hoopla.
So where are you at right now?
We're in Eugene, Oregon.
Fishbones has been, I mean, like your first CD dropped in 85, the EP, and it's like 22 years later. What's the secret to the band's longevity to stay in the game like this?
You know, we keep it interesting for us by constantly expanding and exploring and, you know, trying to learn some new things from our experiences and the people that we know and bringing those things to the band and, you know, whatever it takes to keep it fresh and fun, you know. That's what has basically, for all these years, kept me and Angelo going and hopefully keeps it interesting to the people who've been buying our records all these years. There's a few of them I recognize from 1984.
What I've been noticing is that I've always known that you guys have been playing. You know, I've got, like, your EPs. I got the Live at the Temple Bar. You guys are putting out some side projects, of course, with Trulio, Dr. Mad Vibe, etc. But now, would you consider this kind of like a comeback of Fishbone, the band, as a whole?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, you guys had the movie Idlewild and the Sublime tribute song, and now on the Warped Tour. How does that make you feel?
It really kind of feels like it's a brand new band, to tell you the truth. Like, you know, we just dropped a new video, and my first thing I thought was, God damn, we look like some kids in a new band.
You guys look the same, man. I mean, you and Angelo look the same, man. It's like, you know, all of us are getting older except for you guys. It's got to be
right.
Music.
It is. Sort of vibrations, man.
When you go into, like, some new projects now, you know, of course you have your old core fan base from way back, the old school ones, but, like, you guys are going out on the Warped Tour with a lot of young bands. Is there something that you guys kind of get mentally prepared for, or you guys just say, you know, fuck it, let's just do it?
Well, yeah, it's like, let's just do it. And you want to know, like, you know, when you impact the audience and that audience is coming, you know, coming home with you or taking you home with them. So you want that effect. You want to leave the stage knowing that, man, you know, you transcended, you know, the age gap because, you know, we are 41 years on average in this group, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if a 15-year-old can hear what we're up to and dig where we're coming from, man, and then that's the effect that we want to have,
yeah.
You know.
A lot of the bands that are on that Warped Tour, you guys kind of already were like the blueprint for those type of shows, for that type of energy on stage.
I think that's why we'll have like a positive impact is because, you know, a lot of the bands took a good chunk of what we do and did their own.
Yeah, for example, like No Doubt blows up. I remember reading an interview with you where you had commented on that whole situation where No Doubt had gotten really big. You know, Fishbone has always kind of like been on that cusp. You guys have been popular in the independent scene and the punk rock scene and the ska scene, of course, but always on that verge. Because I remember when Reality My Surroundings came out and it was just like almost there, but then people's taste of music change in the music industry all the time. Do you feel like, you know, that Fishbone getting the credit that deserves is long overdue, or do you feel like you've received that credit?
Well, you know, that's a hard question. Answer because, you know, when you grow up alongside a bunch of bands and you see them all get super rich, you know, some of them look like they're the richest people on the planet, you know, mm-hmm. or very close to it, you know. So it's like, as you go, like, wow, there's a huge gap in the financial thing here. But when it comes down to being fulfilled and making my art, I can look back and I can listen to about 90% of everything that I've done and feel good that I've done it in this amount of time. I'm like, that's pretty good. You know, the other thing is, like, didn't nobody tell us it was going to be an easy ride? We could look at some things and go, like, that's unjust. But we knew the situation before we got into it, you know? Yeah. It's like, shit, Bad Brains look like Metallica? Yeah, I think so. They should have a jet plane. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we ain't... You know, there's a bunch of stories like this.
Yeah, you know, you could, you know, there could be a lot of discussions about, you know.
Yeah, it crosses color lines too, man. It's not just like a black and white thing. It's like, you know, there's always a band that somebody's looking at going like, they should have been the biggest thing on the planet, and something happens and they're not.
But you just keep moving on and just doing what you love doing, and it keeps it all together. Yeah, it's more important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Keep trying, you know. It feels a lot better when you're like 19 and you got a huge hit, and then come, you know, somebody who does it for the rest of your life, you know. But, you know, it's like, fortunately, we live in times where if you look good like I do, then it's possible to have something make an impact. Kids at least look at you and don't be like, that's really an old-ass man. They'll be like, oh, he looks like one of us.
Yeah, it don't matter. I mean, hey, you know, you got Social D and headlining the big fest too, so yeah, if the quality's there, it doesn't really matter, age, whatever. You know what, let's talk about you as a musician. I've run into you a few times over at the NAMM show, and, you know, I've seen you jam with different groups. I saw you at the, one of my buddies is in the Percussionist for War, and I saw you jamming with War and Perry Farrell over at the Viper Room. And of course, you got Trulio and all that stuff, but as a bass player, who are some of the people that have influenced you in your bass playing?
You know, Lonnie Marshall from Weapons Choice continued to be a great friend and a awesome source of inspiration in a lot of ways. And, you know, with me and Flea, there's always been a good give and take. You know, I just saw him recently, and I thought, man, this guy's on top of his game. He's playing so solid and so clear. I had to take something away from that, you know, as far as, like, execution and impact, man. It's amazing. And as well, Les Claypool, too. As if you play bass these days, even if that doesn't touch where you go, it has to impact your creativity, because he's like one of the freest bass players there's ever been. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I always, you know, when I think of like three of my favorite bass players, like in a lot of the genres, I mean, I've been a fan of Fishbone, Red Hots, and Primus, and it was always like that was definitely the big standout was you three. Laying the foundation for the music, which was always funk-based. What you just said just kind of, like, cemented exactly what I thought all along, because I knew you guys were tight.
Yeah, and then there's other musicians. Like, of course, I grew up in a time where I became musically aware when the effects of what Larry Graham began to spread out all throughout the music industry. And without even, like, sometimes I even forget how much of an impact Larry Graham has had on my playing. And really, Parliament Funkadelic bass players, I like to say Billy Bass, probably had so much to do with who I've become. Like, one, from the simple fact that was one of the largest impacts on my life at 6 years old, was hearing, you know, the first Funkadelic record and America East is Young, you know, which Billy didn't play on, but still it's Funkadelic is all based on Tiki Fullwood, Billy Banks, and Eddie Hazel and Bernie Worrell, you know. But, you know, like those things and you know, Fly Dunbar and Robbie Shakespeare as a rhythm section. But also, like, it's like the stuff that was going on in punk rock, of course, had a lot to do.
Yeah, I know you've been asked this question a gazillion times, but, like, when you guys all met as kids, what was the concept for the band? Can you describe the first meeting when you guys all decided this is what we're going to do?
Well, yeah, kind of. It's because everything kind of gradually took some kind of form, because where it began was there was an opportunity for us to pull everything together for a talent show. It was at Hale Junior High School. Angelo and Dirty Walt had a music class. I think Angelo asked his teacher if we could use the music room to practice, because we didn't have a place to really practice, and he obliged. So that was our very first jam. We never did make it to the talent show because there was a huge brawl at the school where everybody took sides based on race.
Man.
They called they called it like a race riot. It wasn't exactly that, but you know, everybody took sides, and it was kind of gnarly. And you know, we were in the ninth grade, dude. So you know, the talent show itself never happened, but we kept jamming.
Do you remember what your first like official gig was? Did you guys play for a party or something?
No, see, after that we did a couple more talent shows. We did one that was in Compton, one at Dorsey High, which is in, you know, in the heart of Los Angeles, base of the jungle in South Central LA.
When you guys come and play in ska and punk like that, I mean, is that how you guys started out?
You know, but check it out. Our first club date was in 1983, and we were still in high school at a place called Madam Wong's in Chinatown. That's where we met our first manager. Well, no, we were led to our first manager because Brian O'Neill from a band called the Bus Boys. I met him at a George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars show the week before, and he came to see us, and then he turned us on to his old manager. Became our first manager.
Like, I remember Bus Boys were playing rock and roll. You know, I'm Latino, and I can't see, you know, it's only till now you see a lot of Latinos making it into, like, the music charts and the big rock charts. Did you guys think about any of that stuff? I mean, how was it, like, you're saying playing to black crowds, playing ska and reggae, were all the black kids into it?
You know, at that time, there were some kids that were into it. Honestly, most of the audience was white that dug it. You know, and that became actually like, you know, that became exactly where our management focused the energies at. Like, you know, fuck it, us playing the punk rock audiences.
What did you guys ideally want to do?
We were just like, okay, whoever likes this, of course we wanted to have some level of impact in the black community. It's like, yeah, you know, it'd be nice to go home and have the kids and on the block be like, I saw you on TV, I love what you do, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And it did happen, but it wasn't as like, you know, if we would have been like hip-hop pioneers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember seeing you guys on Soul Train when you guys played Freddy's Dead, and I tripped. I used to watch Soul Train all the time. When I found out Fishbone was going to be on there, I was like, now that right there was pretty groundbreaking to me. You know, I'd always thought, I don't know if Soul Train would dig it, but they obviously did. You know, how'd you guys feel to play on a show like Soul Train?
Dude, I got to commend those people for taking the chance on having us, and you know what I mean? It's like, at that point, we knew we was way outside the fucking box for them. But for us, it was like, okay, we made it now. We got on Soul Train. That's some shit that I watched my entire life every week, dude. You know, to fucking see the house that the Soul Train line was created in, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, come on, dude, that's Don Cornelius, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like the baddest guy since Superfly.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like, dude, you know, so that was one of those things where, you know, once that aired and did that shit, we went right on tour, and then it aired, and like, we came back off tour, and man, everybody in my neighborhood was lit the fuck up over that shit. Like, y'all crazy, y'all some... Yeah, too crazy for me, but I was glad to see you on TV. You know, and then it got, like, you know, where I live, we lived in an apartment building, and in that apartment building, we rehearsed in my bedroom, and you know, in the place my mother paid rent at, you know.
Yeah.
And the manager of the building lived above us, you know, and we disturbed every motherfucker in the building. And we got the curve. I look back and I see the curve where, you know, they used to complain about how loud we were, and to the day where the manager of the building came down and was like, okay, sound like y'all got a groove today. He was like, y'all stay with that groove right there. You know, y'all was driving me crazy there for a minute. I didn't know what I was going to do, but y'all doing something positive. You know, he gave us a pass. Y'all keep making that noise. So anyway, he saw us on Soul Train. It was like, okay, that was a payoff for him as well. And all the people that we disturbed all them years was like, you know, okay, we put up with that bullshit, you know, and they did something with it. Yeah.
Right on, man. No, that's cool. Well, I know you guys got, like, such a rich history that, man, if I was to do a real proper interview with you, I'd have to have a million questions to give you, but I'm not going to torture you like that because I'm sure you got other things to do. But let's talk about, obviously, like, the rich history to come a long way. You got the new CD still stuck in your throat, and I'm listening to it, and it's definitely, like, a return to form to the Fishbone that, when I discovered, became the band that I listen to 24 hours a day. Man, you know, I'll tell you a real quick story. I was a junior in high school in 85, and the EP had come out. I remember the first time I saw you guys was on this show that Richard Blade hosted, like, on one of the cable channels on LA. It was called MV3 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw a Modern Industry video, and I just totally wigged. I was in McFarland over here in the Central Valley, you know, right outside of Bakersfield, and it's this tiny little Mexican town. So I had to go to L.A. where my sister was going to school to find out, like, pick up an L.A. Weekly or something, and I would try to find out everything I could about Fishbone. I remember I was counting the days till that EP finally came out, and as it happened was that I went with my mother to this big church convention over there at the Shrine Auditorium, and we were staying next door at, like, the Vagabond Inn or something, and I remember said,
Right.
Yeah, I said, you know what? I'm not feeling too good, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to go to the record store and pick up, oh, it was like the cassette at the time, so I went over there and got it, and man, I stayed in the room, and I said I was sick the whole time, just so I could listen to that thing over and over and over. Yeah, so, and then you just, you know, you guys impacted me big with my band Mento Buru, man. If it wasn't for Fish.
Oh, okay, you Mento Buru, bro. Yeah. Right on.
That's why, you know, it's like, man, you guys, if it weren't for Fishbone, man, I wouldn't even be playing the sax right now or singing, because it was all about you guys. So I'm glad that you guys are still kicking it live with this new CD. Some of my favorite songs, I love Jackass Brigade, Skank Could Go Nuts, Forevermore. Forevermore reminds me of, like, there's those songs that Fishbone has done that are very pick-you-up songs, you know, Everyday Sunshine, and this really good, sweet, those certain chord progressions that you guys go to. These are, like, perfect songs, man. How do you guys feel about this new CD?
Well, you know, it's like, I had to say, like, I totally love it. As a producer, I look at it and I'm going, if I had the money, I would have spent about another 2 weeks doing something more. But otherwise, it's like we made it 100% independent, and we put as much into it as we could. Thank God for, you know, Jimmy Sloan just believing in it and letting us come into his spot, just cut, you know, with no money down. It's really truly our first completely independent project with the band, and I really like doing it like that as well. And at the end of the day, you know, we got to look at ourselves for whatever is right or wrong with it, and it's really has got me excited about making the next one, because song for song, I'm like, you know what, I'm totally in love with it.
Are your live shows now, like, still as energetic as ever? I mean, is this still the same, man? All chaotic, but, like, tight, like, tighter than a mosquito's ass, like, I always remember that, man.
It's still like that with the new lineup, man. I can see, like, we get tighter and we experiment a little more, like, get really tight, and then the next thing you know, we're taking a little more chances here and there, and, you know, it's exciting, like, we're discovering who we are as a unit, and it's really awesome, because we play a good portion of the new record, and we play, like, quite a few old songs as well. You know, it takes us between an hour and a half and 2 hours to actually get it all out. It's a long show, you know. Everybody keeps barking at me, like, shorten it a bit, because, you know, sometimes people got to go to work the next morning and shit, and it, you know.
Oh, but you we play
clear up into the club is, like, giving us the boot, man, but... It's like, it's, you know, for me, I just look at it like, man, we got to get a people like 100. In every stretch of the work, giving you more of what you funked for.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, people obviously get their money's worth when they go to a Fishbone show. I have every single time, up to 50 times that I've seen you guys over all the years. I know it's going to be a good show. Well, we look forward to having you guys back over here in Bakersfield. I mean, the last time Trulio was supposed to come, and we were supposed to play with you guys, and then something happened, didn't happen. But I remember even before that was, like, when we opened up for Trulio over in East Bakersfield, and then we had to jam with you. That was a long time ago, man.
That was a long time ago.
Do you still do Trulio?
Yeah, dude. I just put the record out in February on my own label, so it's available. It's in stores, and it's available for download, or you can order it at Amazon or whatnot. Yeah, I put that out in February, but because we were doing so much work with Fishbone, because Still Stuck in Your Throat came out in Europe in October.
Oh,
so we've spent a lot of time in Europe, just been a lot of setup for the new Fishbone record. It's been just making it kind of difficult. In every break, I want to go out and run around and do Trulio shit, but right now, we're really focusing on the Fishbone world. I am, at least.
You guys are on a roll right now. You know, got to keep that momentum going and all that stuff.
And I got other releases on my record label. I got a band that's coming out in June, Solar System. They're from Tallahassee, Florida. And I'm setting up a couple other releases for the September, October period of time.
Is it a separate label?
Yeah, Nut Factor 5/ In a Nutshell Recording.
Is there a website for your own solo project?
Yeah, there's a TrulioDisgracies.com, and there's NutsActor5.com as well.
Right on, Norwood. Well, I'll let you get back to what you were doing, man, but I really appreciate you calling me. You know,
right
of course,
on,
man, I'd give you props for days, but, you know, you already know a million people out there love you guys. I look forward to having you guys back in Bakersfield, and the only reason we're going to play that Rock and Reggae Fest was because you guys are on it.
Right on.
I can't wait, man. We got all the boys, all the girls are all pumped up, and we'll welcome you back to Bakersfield with open arms, brother.
Right on. Well, it'll be really good to see you guys, man. That gets me excited to get my ass up in the house. Make time here early. Just get some mental boom.
I appreciate it, man. All right, man. Well, God bless you. And you guys be safe on the road, and we'll see you here in Bakersfield soon.
All right, bro. See
all right, peace.
Fishbone is the shit, I'm telling you. Catch them headlining the 2007 Warped Tour in select cities and visit them on the web at www.fishbone.net. All right, let's hear a new jam off the new Fishbone CD Still Stuck in Your Throat. This is called Behind Closed Doors.
This real world we live in. Never too far down, never too far off for the real concern we give in. Never drink and still shoot up and kill is the common misconception. We are justified, we are ease our mind with these deceptions. Now if life was a thing that money could have buy, then the rich man would have make war and the poor man would have fight. Then the rich man would pity and the poor man would cry, while the rich make excuses and the poor people die. Type of thing make I want to run out. And the poor man would die. The rich mother would pity and the
Thank you, Norwood Fisher and Fishbone, for giving us years of great music and constant inspiration, and for being on the Baco Tunes podcast. Keep boning. Peace. Gotta do it. Here's some more bone from the classic Truth and Soul album. Here is Ghetto Soundwave, one of my personal favorites.
Yeah.